might be unpopular, but bulk data collection by the National Security Agency is effective, and technology can't really replicate what bulk data collection can do for intelligence. But more effective methods could be developed so that the collection and use of data is more targeted and controlled. Those are among the findings from a major study of signal intelligence practices. That study was just completed by the National Academies. It was requested by the President and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence a year ago. Michael Leiter is an Executive Vice President at Leidos and a member of the committee that authored that report, and he joins me now. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
All right, so exactly what was this National Academy of Sciences task force asked to do?
Well, after the President announced the collection of bulk metadata, that was information about phone calls by the National Security Agency, there was obviously some controversy, and he asked the Director of National Intelligence, and the Director of National Intelligence in turn asked the National Academies, that's the National Academies of Science and Engineering and Medicine, to examine whether or not there were software alternatives to actually collecting data. Was there some way to use software so the government wouldn't have to collect as much data as it was for its intelligence mission?
And you had a pretty good blue chip set of people looking into all of that too, didn't you?
It was a rather distinguished panel, myself excluded. It included really very smart PhDs in computer science and engineering from companies like Microsoft, Google, also policy experts, as well as people from academia, to include experts in advanced computing technology, financial computing, healthcare. So it really represented a very wide range of expertise. And we also interviewed many, many people from academia, the government, and private sector.
We should also point out you are the former U.S. National Counterterrorism Center director, so you've got some chops there too, I guess.
Well, I hope so, and to some extent I represented the counterterrorism operator and, of course, my expertise from Leidos and other technology companies.
And they didn't ask, I guess, for you to say whether the policy of bulk collection was right or wrong, but simply whether there were technological alternatives to it?
That's a key point. Unlike other panels, we were not asked whether or not it was wise to collect bulk data. The only question was, were there software alternatives to collecting data to accomplish the same mission? And the answer was really quite clear. There's no software that can fully replace bulk data, but there are ways to use software to make that collection a little bit more effective and also to control the usage of collected data and, in turn, protect people's privacy.
I mean, that's really the debate right now in cybersecurity. People are sort of conflate two things. One is bulk data collection. The other is network analysis. And they're really not the same thing, are they?
No, not at all. And as we looked at this problem, as much as we would have liked to find a solution, the fact is, without actually having information, you can't analyze information. And that sounds simplistic, but it's really true. And the challenge of intelligence collection and why bulk data is necessary is you don't always know the questions you have to ask or the people you have to ask about until after an event occurs. And because of that, you have to have collected information in the past. Again, you can protect that information using technology in ways that are more privacy protective. Some of those methods are already in use by the government, but we think there are ways to improve that and some ways to improve the targeted collection of data. But nothing can replace that bulk collection in the first instance.
And so speaking of bulk collection, I guess maybe, I mean, you could say if it works, then it's a good idea, but I won't ask you that one. The question is, has it been effective for NSA, and has NSA had good results in terms of intelligence from the bulk data collection it has been doing?
Well, in truth, from the committee's perspective, we simply didn't examine that, and that's because we wanted to stay away from that policy issue of whether or not it was useful. But in both our classified and unclassified discussions, it's quite clear that there's no way around for certain missions that you have to have collected bulk data. Now, putting on my personal citizen hat, I think there are examples where bulk data was useful. I think that we also should not exaggerate the use of bulk data collection, and it has to be done very carefully. The fact is, intelligence includes both targeted collection whenever possible, because having less data makes your analysis problems easier, but there are situations where you don't know who your targets are, where they would arise, and because of that, you have to sometimes collect bulk data in the first instance.
We're speaking with Michael Leiter. He's an executive vice president at Leidos and a member of the National Academies Committee that looked into NSA bulk data collection and possible alternatives. And so there are no alternatives. So I guess you found two things. One, there are ways to make bulk data collection safer in terms of privacy, but there are also alternatives to bulk collection that can work, but maybe not as well.
That's right. And we did see some advances in computing, which probably deserve greater research and development from the Director of National Intelligence and the intelligence community, which can help you very, very rapidly collect targeted information. And there are ways to take the information that is collected and prior to it being seen by a human analyst, use that information in a way that, again, is more protective. Finally, there are many ways that are used across different industries to automate the controls around that data so you know very clearly who is accessing the data, why they're accessing it, and limiting it. And you can make those controls transparent to the public in a way that even though you're collecting bulk data, the public may have much greater faith in the intelligence community that it is not improperly collecting or analyzing information.
I guess maybe the distinction has to be made with collecting it and then using all of it. What I mean is, eventually, the point of intelligence is to find somebody that might be doing something. Therefore, you've got to associate some personally identifiable information with the phone numbers, let's say it is. So there's ways to just do that in a more targeted way, even though you have to collect everything in the first place.
That's right. You still have to collect all that information, but you could mask it from what analysts see. So it might not be associated with a person until you had reached a certain degree of certainty that that information was relevant to the investigation. So the information might be collected, but it could be walled off from use. It could be encrypted in ways that it could not be accessed without permissions. And all of those things, although not eliminating fears people might have about intelligence collection, should, we believe, really produce a greater degree of transparency and trust in the system.
I imagine the NSA would benefit from that also.
That was really a key piece of what the committee discussed. We were not looking to help the public or help the government per se, but the goal was how do you accomplish missions while also providing trust, faith, and confidence in the system, that the system was working the way it was supposed to and it was following the rules. And we do think that technology and software could have a significant role in providing that trust and faith.
Now, in looking at more targeted ways of developing data, that's a little bit difficult because I guess you have to know where to start if you're going to target it. And so maybe would an example of that be, say, you know of someone that's bad and you look at the people they talk to and maybe three rings out from there, which wouldn't qualify as bulk data collection, but would get you still a decent amount of data surrounding that possible potential danger point.
Well, your example is a good one. If you know that Osama bin Laden is a terrorist today, you can chain, but you can only look at that information that you have about the past to understand what may go on in the future. Now, if you can collect that data very, very quickly and you can capture it, then there are opportunities that you might not need to do as much bulk collection. And there's also the possibility that the government might need not hold that data, and that data could be held by private entities like phone companies. That might also provide some protection. But that doesn't solve your problem. It largely shifts where that data is being held, and cybersecurity concerns, of course, come into play there, too. So you have to have a system, again, of controlling access to that data wherever it is held, whether it's the government or elsewhere. So, again, we really stayed away from the policy issues, and I'm quite proud that we were able to do that. We focused on technology, independent of what people thought might be the right solution as a policy matter.
So if people could, say, hypothetically agree, okay, bulk data collection can continue with the following strictures and controls on it, whatever they might be, is the commercial marketplace right now able to supply the tools needed to fulfill what might be considered good practices to enable bulk data collection in a way that people feel like they are protected?
I think in many instances, yes, the private sector is already using some of these tools in terms of access controls to know who is looking at data and who is not. And in fairness, the government is using some, but I would say not all of the controls that are used elsewhere. So I think the private sector is relatively well positioned to provide that software for the protection of the data and also, of course, the analysis of data is many companies, including Leidos, provide. So there are things the private sector can do to help enable the continued use of bulk data collection if, as a policy matter, the President and the Congress agree that this is a necessary set of tools to perform missions in the future.
But it's possible that the existence of those enabling tools could affect the policy debate.
That's right, and I think it's fair to say, at least as one member of the committee, we hope that it does. One thing we found is that there are many legal definitions and policy decisions from the past which, frankly, are not as grounded technically in science and computer science as they probably should be. So a serious effort of this committee was to clarify some of the rules. What does it mean to have bulk data? What does it mean to collect data? And the report, I think, provides some relatively clear and simple ways of thinking about those things so you can get past some of the political noise and understand that when you're talking about data, what is actually happening to that data? How can it be collected? How can it be used? How can it be protected?
And in the course of the research, did you speak with people in the intelligence community itself?
We did. We had both classified and unclassified hearings. But in truth, we came up with an entirely unclassified report. And that was quite important to the committee because we thought it was important for the public to see that report and our judgments. As I said, we did classified hearings with members of the intelligence community, but our judgment, those of us who had access to classified material, did not believe that anything we heard in the classified discussions would materially alter the unclassified report. But we indeed interviewed people from virtually every intelligence community agency, both past and present, to include people like Keith Alexander, the former director of NSA, again, as well as people from industry and academia. And I think that combination of three was really critical to the report's findings.
And just a final question, when you spoke to people that were doing this work, that were actually performing intelligence, did you get a sense of their feelings about bulk data collection itself and the amount of power that they potentially had, and B, the reaction that came about against them or on their behalf after the Edward Snowden revelations?
Well, really, we did experience strong feelings on all sides. And having spent 20 years in the U.S. intelligence community and government, I think all of us thought that the federal employees we met were loyal, dedicated servants who were really committed not just to protecting the nation, but protecting the privacy of data. That being said, we talked to people on the quote-unquote other side who were extremely concerned about potential violations. And I think what we came out with was both sides are committed, and they're committed for the right reasons, and technology can help both sides of that equation accomplish their respective goals.
And as investigators, then you had to constantly filter out what people's opinions were and just try to stick to the facts of, are these tools available? What are the alternatives?
Well, that's absolutely true. But one great thing about scientists, engineers, and computer scientists, you will focus on the facts of the science and technology, and they're very, very good, as is some software, at filtering out the things that aren't relevant. And in this case, technology was the important point of the study.
Michael Leiter is the former director of the National Counterterrorism Center, executive vice president now for strategy and business development at Leidos. Thanks so much for joining me.
It's a pleasure, Tom. Thanks very much.